He is the author of The Arm, Inside the Billion-Dollar Mystery of the Most Valuable Commodity in Sports, Yahoo sports writer Jeff Passan. What's your official title, Jeff?
Yahoo sports writer is good enough. As long as you get the Yahoo part in there, that's fine.
It keeps the bosses happy, right?
Exactly. that's all I'm trying to do on an everyday basis anyway.
So this was an extensively researched project. I think probably more than you realized it was maybe even going to be. I guess, can you get into a little bit about just, you know, what you set out to do, what this turned out to be, just sort of from a macro level?
I mean, it started off with me trying to answer a very simple question, which turned out wasn't all that simple. Why does baseball spend $1.5 billion every year on something it doesn't understand? And it ended up taking me around the country, around the world, into other parts of baseball that I truly did not think I was going to delve as deep into as I have. And ultimately, I didn't answer the question because even people who have dedicated their careers to this, who are far, far smarter than I will ever be, don't fully understand the arm and how it works. But what I did take away from it is I think the stories of two major league pitchers coming back or trying to come back from Tommy John surgery and what that is like, not just on a professional element, but on a human level as well, as well as the idea that the youth baseball system right now is broken and that a lot of the injuries that are happening these days can be traced back to things that are done as early as 8 or 9 or 10 years old.
So you covered a lot of ground there. There's certainly the youth aspect, and the interesting culture difference in Japan in terms of extending young arms. What was the most sort of enlightening part for you in terms of what's maybe you found out that people are trying to do to curb injuries, or maybe just the thing that surprised you most along the way?
Oh, I mean, I think, you know, being there in the doctor's office in Japan and over a four-hour period seeing 20 kids come in and 19 of them leave with injuries, you know, kids as young as 9 years old, was shocking. And, you know, understanding that in the United States, it's not a whole lot different right now. The number that more than any stands out to me is from a study that was done of Tommy John surgeries in the United States between 2007 and 2011, and how 56.8% of them were on 15 to 19 year olds. That is a bad sign, and that is a sign that this injury is trending younger, that arms are being hurt younger than ever, and that baseball needs to do something to stop this before not just the entire talent pool coming into the professional ranks in future years are at increased risks because the greatest predictor of a future arm injury is a past arm injury, but because these are children, and we have, as people, a moral imperative to look after our kids, whether we're their parents, their coaches, or people who are just watching them and seeing abuse happen.
Yeah, you mentioned sort of the whole system from a youth perspective being very broken, there's so much pressure at these perfect game showcases. And the one thing that I remember that jumped out the most to me the first dog year that I made was that they rank 30 T-ball teams of four-year-olds across the country.
Nothing like preschool rankings, I'll tell you that.
Right. I mean,
these were four and under teams. The United States Specialty Sports Association ranks four and under teams, and not four and under as in fourth grade. Four and under as in the kids might still be in diapers at night.
Right, right. Which is, I mean, I've seen some crazy things. I'm doing a story right now on you know, eighth graders committing to college, but that's a whole other level of you know, of how far that's extending, you know, into youth leagues. I know you mentioned one of the big reasons that you wrote this and you went on sort of this expedition was for your own kids. You've got kids who are growing into playing youth sports and going into pitcher age, you know, baseball. How you sort of alluded to it generally that you feel fairly confident in your ability to keep his arm safe. Can you maybe, for parents, you know, who are in similar predicaments, what kind of advice do you have after what you've researched to give them on helping keep a young arm as healthy as possible?
Well, I think you have to be willing to go against what modern American culture preaches these days, and that is competitiveness at a very young age. I think there is a place for competitiveness among 8-year-olds, which is the age my son is right now. I don't think it's on the baseball field. I think that when you're talking about sports and youth development, that emphasizing development itself over competition is far and away the smartest thing to do. Making sure the kid knows how to throw strikes and making sure the kid can throw a fastball, and once he gets a little bit older, a changeup, and not having to go to the breaking ball at a young age, which, despite there being evidence saying that breaking balls may not necessarily cause as much stress on the arm as we've thought in the past, I'm still not going to let him throw a breaking ball till he can shave. There's just no point in doing so. And it's because who cares who wins a game with 8 or 9 or 10 or 11 or 12 or 13-year-olds or even 14-year-olds? I mean, we are trying to emphasize far too early the competitive nature of the game. And I think the fact that there are perfect game tournaments for 11-year-olds now, where they're taking measurables on the kid and they have radar guns up, which implicitly emphasize the importance of throwing hard. I think they're gross, and I think they're unseemly, and I think they're a huge part of the problem. It's the commodification of the child, and the fact that right now people are making significant money off of youth baseball and off of parents' ignorance to all this. I suppose, am I part of the problem because I'm trying to sell a book that targets these parents? Maybe so, but I'd like to think that I'm doing so from a very moral perspective, where I'm trying to tell them, hey, don't do this. Save your kid, because ultimately he or she is just a child, and we cannot forget that.
And you talk about the fetishization of velocity and how much, you know, along those youth circuits and really, I mean, obviously at every level of baseball, for good reason, it's such an important thing. Being in Washington, we can't avoid any talk of Tommy John without talking about Steven Strasburg. You know, maybe the most infamous sort of handling of a situation. But I'm curious now. You know, we've gotten a handful of years away from that surgery, and we've seen how this has kind of played out. Now we know they followed the Jordan Zimmerman model, because that was the model that they had fairly closely in terms of protecting him. Neither of those guys has gotten seriously hurt again. And you mentioned before the biggest predictor on getting hurt a second time is having gotten hurt a first time, that's the biggest sort of correlation that we can tie to any sort of injury. Do you see any validation in the decision to shut him down? Is it too early to figure that out? I'm curious to see how you see that now that we're several years away.
Honestly, no. I don't think that we can say definitively that the shutdown worked, because we'll never know. I mean, Steven Strasburg could have pitched all the way through the end of the season like Matt Harvey did last year and stayed completely healthy. And if Matt Harvey gets hurt, I don't think it'll be fair to go and blame it on him going out and pitching more last year. That's the problem. We just don't know still, and we don't have any of those definitive markers. We don't have any sort of way to capture data that might tell us whether there was extra strain and stress on his elbow in Harvey's case during October last year that Strasburg might not have seen. I'm not saying that the shutdown didn't do what it was intended to. I'm just saying we don't know that it did. And I think that's an important differentiation to make. We can't take this small sample of Jordan Zimmerman and Steven Strasburg and extrapolate it out. The best we can do is take what we think might work and do it and replicate it and try and do the same thing again and again. And then maybe we'll get a better sense if this goes beyond anecdotal evidence and into the point where we've seen it enough times where we think maybe there's something substantive to this.
So, speaking of the science of it, some of this is going to happen kind of behind closed doors now. We have the Dodgers investing not just $200 million in a baseball team on the field, but in terms of their sort of front office brain trust and bringing guys in who are on the cutting edge of this stuff. You talk a little bit in the book about the Indians kind of following Trevor Bauer, letting him, you know, kind of figure some stuff out for himself, and the clinic up in Washington that's using some non-traditional methods to try to attack this issue. You know, when you have clubs like this, how far ahead of the general curve do you think they are? I mean, how much of an edge by investing over the last couple of years have they gained on the rest of baseball, considering that a lot of this stuff is going to stay behind closed doors?
Well, I think it's going to be interesting to see whether there are any breakthroughs. And honestly, we probably won't know if there are, because teams are doing this behind closed doors intentionally. They want to take all of their information, drop it into the silo, and have it for themselves, because they know if you can keep a pitching staff healthy, chances of you doing well in a season or winning a World Series increase significantly. The margin for error goes down significantly. It goes up. I mean, you have a greater margin for error if you know that your pitchers are going to stay healthy, then you might be able to take more risks. And so this is the holy grail for baseball teams right now. It's medical information. And the Dodgers are doing it, the Astros, the Indians, the Pirates, the Rays. I think the Nationals, even to an extent, are. And so there are places that are trying to focus on this. And ultimately, it may be money completely wasted, but I appreciate the fact that they're trying. I just wish they were trying together, pooling all of their resources and understanding that this is one of those scenarios where the greater good may be best of all.
Well, and so you mentioned that. So there's this sort of preliminary move by MLB to follow five teams' 2014 draft classes as sort of a first step, but obviously, when you're dealing with players who have potential free agent contracts for millions and millions of dollars, a lot of them aren't going to want these baseline diagnostics done on them that show, oh, well, you've actually had this fraying going on for a while, and you know, you might be set up for injury. And there's a concern from the Players Association side, certainly, of sort of protecting players. What is it going to take for the MLBPA to sign on to sort of a league-wide set of diagnostics? Do you think that this will help facilitate that? Are we still several years off before we'll get to that more public knowledge?
I think probably so. Ultimately, though, I think the MLBPA would be on board with something like that, because the dollars are going to get spread around no matter what, and the dollars should go to healthy players. Like, that's the best case scenario. And so so long as there's not a decrease in money spent, as long as if a guy who has performed well but has iffy medicals, if he's not getting paid, then someone else is, it's going to be tough to argue against that. Because, I mean, how can you argue in favor of a team wasting money on players? That's bad for everyone. If a team wastes money on a free agent, then it might be less likely or loath to spend going forward. And the MLBPA's idea is about having freedom for its free agents to go and seek out wherever they want to play. And if there's a reputation for a team that's not willing to pay, well, that team ultimately ends up suffering.
Sure. Well, thank you. I know you've got a whole circuit of media you're doing. Thanks for taking the time. Again, the book is The Arm, Jeff Passan from Yahoo Sports. If you're a doctor, if you're a casual baseball fan, if you're, you know, if you have kids who are playing baseball, it's got stuff for everybody, depending on kind of where you come at the game. So thanks so much again for joining me.
Thanks, Noah. Appreciate it, man.